Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
From KQED in San Francisco, I'm Alexis Madrigal. Now that my children are 9 and 6, I look back at their baby photos, and of course, I see their current selves in those baby pictures. The shape of an eye, a hint of a personality, an upper lip. And of course, we can do this with ourselves too, looking back on old throwback Thursday pictures. But is there actual continuity in who we are? Not physically, but on the inside. Do you feel like you're the same person you've always been, or does the you of 5 or 10 or 20 years ago feel like a stranger? As we return to old friends and family this week, today we're joined by New Yorker writer Joshua Rothman to discuss his magazine feature, Are You Who You Used to Be? That's all coming up next after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. I think I want to believe that people can and do change. Otherwise, what's the point of all this living? Don't we want to get better, to grow and change? On the other hand, I also want to believe that there's some core of our being that we carry with us through our lives. Some central core that's us. Like, there has to be a you in there, right? This deep and essential tension to just being alive as a human is the subject of Joshua Rothman's New Yorker story, Are You Who You Used to Be? He's the ideas editor and a writer at the magazine, and he joins us this morning. Welcome, Joshua.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So to set up this conversation, I think you need to tell us a little bit about your four-year-old who really seemed to inspire this story.
Yeah, I think that's right. Well, I have a son who's four. You know, I've just noticed, I mean, I imagine all parents are like this, but I've just noticed, you know, he seems like he's a fully formed person. Like he has his own personality and everything, but like being four, he's not going to remember too much about who he is right now. And I guess just, you know, being around a person who's constantly changing, who's growing every day and who sort of can't remember what he was like just 6 months ago, just got, you know, gets you thinking about how much you know about who you've been in the past and whether you might have been a different person back then. You know, if you think about your oldest friends who know you so well, what would they say about whether you've changed or whether you've been the same?
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think many parents experience that absolute strangeness of like other personhood, like another being that just seems to appear out of nothing, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think also just being a person, I mean, everyone knows. When I just think about my own family, I just feel that people fall into two camps. And this is like maybe too simple, but it often seems like there's one group of family members who feel that they've always been exactly the same. They almost take pride in being people who've never changed, you know, like, you know, they're a rock, you know who they are. And then I know another group of people who seem like they're always changing and sort of take pride in that they've, you know, changed so much. They're always evolving. They used to be so different than they are today. It's just people have very strong and divergent sort of intuitions about this aspect of who they are.
When you kind of gave the parable of the Tims, two different Tims in your life who seem to embody these things, maybe you could just give us their profiles quickly so we can, you know, see what camps we sort into here.
Sure thing. So, you know, the two Tims are two real Tims who I happen to know. One Tim is my father-in-law, and another Tim is my friend from high school. And probably we all know versions of these Tims. My father-in-law, he's older. He's a person who feels he's been pretty much the same for his whole life. And just judging from the outside, that seems true. You know, he's been a Yankees fan his whole life. He's been interested in history pretty much his whole life. He's always been a New Yorker. When he tells stories about his childhood, it's like they just happened. They're totally fresh. He has like running jokes with friends that go back decades. This is a really continuous person who, you know, it's one of the great things about knowing him is you feel like you're knowing someone with a history. Mm-hmm. And then my other, the other Tim, my high school friend, he's probably the most changeable individual I know. And I think he would agree with that. You know, when I knew him first, when we were kids, he was so small and skinny. He was always getting beaten up. And then somehow, you know, he grew and became a giant, you know, muscular kind of Jason Momoa type guy. He joined the Marines and went off to war. And he's a completely different person now. You wouldn't physically recognize who he is. And he's had many different careers. He's worked in, you know, all sorts of different industries. He's never settled down, never married. He's always changing, and he prides himself on that. These two Tims just have totally different, you know, I guess my father-in-law, Tim, it's like his life is one story, you know, one plot arc, if you will. Mm-hmm. And whereas, my friend, Tim, it's more like he's, you know, an anthology series. It's like every new season seems to start with, you know, it's like the White Lotus is in a different country this year. It's just a different story with different characters and different themes. Obviously there are continuities, but really change is so important to who he is. Yeah. I think a lot of us have, you know, I mean, you know, I wonder how you feel about yourself, but you know, we all seem to have different ideas of who we are.
Well, and I think, you know, the kind of typology you introduced in the story, and I think it comes from the philosopher Galen Strawson, is like continuer versus a divider. You know, your father-in-law, Tim, he's the continuer. Friend, Tim, is the divider. So I'm sitting at the dinner table with my wife and our best friend last night, and I tell them about, you know, these continuers and these dividers. And what was fascinating was they immediately were just like, oh, continuer. And I immediately was like, oh, no, I'm a divider. Like, I definitely have changed, and I see that change. I'm curious, where do you place yourself on that spectrum?
Well, I feel like a divider. I think a lot of, I mean, this is part of the reason I wrote the piece. I was just so interested in this. I mean, I think people who know me my whole life feel I've always been the same. But that's not how it feels from the inside. From the inside, it feels to me like I've had several pretty distinct life chapters. Mm-hmm. And you know, I can pinpoint the sort of periods of time when big changes happened in who I was. I can recall, you know, particular conversations or, you know, a particular season when I felt that, I have to change who I am, or, you know, I look back on what I was like at certain times and I want to shake myself and say, come on, man, like, don't be that way. That's the old me. You know, I feel like a pretty, pretty much, you know, a person with chapters, but you know, one of the things that Galen Strawson talks about, you know, Galen Strawson's a philosopher and he's written a lot about the self, is that, you know, it's really, there's many different ways of experiencing the continuity of yourself. Everyone finds their own way of sort of dividing up time or connecting it together in their lives. I mean, a life is long and you have to find a way of understanding its length. So that there are some people who are really, they go beyond being a divider to being a person who's almost kind of just lives in the present. They might not have that much, they don't think about the past very often, or maybe they don't even think about the future very often. They sort of like live in the moment. That's one way of being. You almost, you know, if you're that way, you almost don't even seem to be troubled by these questions. Other people are extremely on the other end. They feel like they have a life project that's been going their whole lives. You know, for example, you'll meet some artists. They've been making the same kind of art their whole lives. They've been painting the same images of their hometowns, for example, their whole lives. The past is very present with them. So it's really about, you know, finding, everyone finds their own place on this spectrum. And then one of the questions that you have to ask yourself is why? You know, why have I chosen this way of looking at how time has passed for me?
Yeah. We're talking with Joshua Rothman, the ideas editor and a writer at The New Yorker magazine. Got a big story called Are You the Same Person You Used to Be? And we would love to hear from you. Do you out there, listeners, feel like the same person you were, you know, 5, 10, 20 years ago? Or do you feel like your past self is a stranger? You can give us a call. The number is 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, we're KQED Forum. And the email is forum@kqed.org. You know, I found myself curious whether there was any research on, you know, people who've had like immigration experiences. You know, like my dad came to this country when he was 18. And, you know, obviously that sort of cut him off from some people in Mexico. Or, you know, I was thinking about people, you know, in the LGBTQ community who, you know, may have come out as trans or gay. Do we know if that makes people more likely to be a continuer or a divider? Or is it something that actually is kind of almost underneath those types of experiences?
That's a great question. I mean, so much depends on what you mean when you talk about having changed or having been the same. So, you know, some of the best work on this subject, and I talk about this in the piece, is, you know, these longitudinal studies that follow people from the time they're very, very small children, sometimes even, you know, 2 or 3 years old, through to adulthood. You know, I don't know if you've seen the documentary series called, it's called The Up Series. And it's English, it's a British documentary show that follows the same group of people, checking in on them every 7 years. There's, you know, social scientists have done versions of this where they follow individuals for decades all the way through their lives. And, you know, what they find is that there's certain types of traits that there's certain personality types that do seem to persist in a meaningful way. And they're the personality types that that shape the social world around a person most decisively. So, you know, if you're younger and you get in a lot of arguments with people, for example, you're a cantankerous individual. Well, you're likely to continue being that way for quite a long time, in part because your sort of oppositional stance towards others creates an oppositional world around you. And it's a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. There's a sort of self-development aspect, like you create a world around yourself that reinforces who you are. You pick a niche. And often, you know, what a lot of this work shows is, you know, this niche that we build around ourselves, the world we build around ourselves, keeps us who we are. If that world changes a lot, like let's say you marry somebody and that person now kind of is your world. They shape your household, they shape your intimate life, your family life. You can change quite a lot. So a lot of the changes that people talk about, you know, on this level happen because of, you know, changes in the context in which they live. Immigration is a great example where you're changing so much about yourself, about your world, that it's almost like you can't help but change as well. And that's certainly a part of it. But having said all that, even if nothing changes outwardly in your life, even if you basically live in the same place you've always lived and you have the same friends you've always had, you can still feel that you've changed quite a lot. This is as much about how we feel about ourselves as it is about the sort of objective facts.
Yeah. Well, let me cut it. We're talking with Joshua Rothman, ideas editor at The New Yorker, also a writer for the magazine. Got a story. Are you the same person you used to be? Which got us thinking, since so many of us are going home or having people come home for Thanksgiving. Do you feel like the same person you were 5, 10, 20 years ago? Or does it feel like your past self really is a stranger? Don't even recognize them. You can give us a call, 866-733-6786. Or as the phone lines fill up, there's always Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It's KQED Forum. And the email is forum@kqed.org. We'll get to some of your calls right after the break. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. We are talking with Joshua Rothman, ideas editor at The New Yorker, also a writer for the magazine. But his story kind of getting at this fundamental human tension of, are we the same people that we used to be, or are we strangers to our past selves? And, you know, I wanted to ask you before we go to the phone lines, you know, it's one thing to kind of be contemplating these things internally, you know, kind of just by yourself and for yourself. How does it change when, say, you go to a family reunion or a Thanksgiving dinner table and people say, you know, you've changed so much or you haven't changed at all? And that doesn't match up with kind of how you see yourself.
Yeah, that's got to be just a universal experience, or, you know, like a college reunion. Anytime you're around people who've known you since forever, there's that tension of like, do you really know who I am still, or have I changed? And of course, I think a lot of times we feel that question asked about us, but we don't necessarily ask about other people. You know, like we see, you know, Uncle Bob, we don't necessarily ask like, is Uncle Bob still the same guy inside that I, you know, who he's always been? I think one of the most sort of interesting things about this is, you know, people have different, there can be something great about the feeling that, you know, these people know who I am. I've always been the person I am around them. That can feel like awesome. And it can also feel like maybe you're a little trapped. Maybe you want to escape. Maybe you want to declare independence from the person who they think you are, the person who you used to be. On the other hand, sometimes it's kind of sad to think, oh, I'm not the person that I was back then. Mm. So those feelings that we have about being, you know, continuous or being, you know, divided up into chapters, they can be, you know, they're stories we tell ourselves with a purpose, if you know what I'm saying. They can be a way of bringing us closer to other people around us. They can be a way of creating some distance. And, you know, that's I think part of what's so interesting about, you know, big holiday gatherings with your family is you kind of have to, you find yourself wanting to get closer to the old person you've always been so that you can be closer to these people. Or you may find yourself wanting to, you know, declare independence and say, you know what, I'm a little bit of a new person. Maybe they're a little bit different too. It's not necessarily a bad thing or a good thing. It's just a way of, you know, tracking our relationships with one another.
Yeah. I'd say if you've been alive in the last 5 years in this country and you haven't learned some really fundamentally new and deep things about race and gender in this country, like, I'm not really sure where you've been. But maybe that can be, maybe for other people, that's something that's more easy to integrate into their continuous sense of self. I don't know. Let's go to the phone lines. Lily in San Francisco, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning, guys. What a fun conversation. So I wanted to call in because it's something I've always been kind of fascinated with. And if you kind of take in this idea of nature versus nurture as well, like what types of things are we just born with versus what types of things did we kind of learn and were ingrained in us from childhood and how we were raised? And I personally am somebody who feels like I have gone through so much growth and change in my life, and I am not the same person at all. But I recently found a box of old report cards.
Ooh, from that's fun.
All the way, yeah. Oh, God. It was really, really interesting. I mean, from as far back as elementary school, like first and second grade, all the way up to high school. And I couldn't believe how every single teacher at every single age described me exactly the same way. Wow. And it was so fascinating. And then reading it back, I thought to myself, oh, yeah, that's exactly how I am now. You know, and
interesting. What were the kinds of things? Like, give us kind of like the depth of what they were saying.
Yeah, I mean, well, there was definitely the element of distraction, right? It was, oh, Lily is very easily distracted. She's only interested in something, you know, or she'll only engage in something if it's a topic that she's actually interested in. And when she is interested in it, she's fully engaged, gets everyone else around her engaged, and really dives deep into it. I mean, really, even from back when I was a little kid, I thought that was really interesting. And they all mentioned about how I love making people laugh, right? That it's like, I'll be the first one to kind of try to make people laugh. And I think people who know me now would describe me exactly the same way.
Yeah.
But the difference too is people who like really know me, the people who really, really know me and have actually watched me, they'll tell you I'm very different. But those are sort of like the inside qualities versus the outside qualities.
Yeah.
You know, I show up on the outside probably the exact same way I showed up from the time I was a child, always trying to make people laugh and be goofy. But I've learned so much, and I've grown so much, and I've changed the way I think so much that when you engage in conversation with me, you'll really notice how I've changed. But, you know, there's a difference between outside change and inside change, too. And it's just always struck me as interesting what we're born with, what traits we're born with versus what we kind of grow into. So, anyway,
Lily,
so much
it's a great
this.
Call. Thank you so much. Yeah. That's exactly the kind of texture I was hoping people could provide for us. And, I, you know, one of the things that spins out of that for me, Joshua, is I personally feel more connected to myself at certain times in my life, say when I was 13 or 17 or 29, but less so at like 21 or 35, you know? Is there a sense in which maybe I'm a continuous multi-plot arc kind of self? Like, are there variations on these themes?
That's a great question. And those are great stories. I mean, one thing that comes to mind is there's a, you know, it's a famous joke, not really a joke, but I guess you call it a joke about psychoanalysis, which is, you know, it you spend all those years on the couch with your analyst. It's not that it solves your problems, but it gives you a way to talk about them. It gives you more knowledge about them. And something that people experience just, you know, in order to write this article, I just talked to every single person I knew about this question. Mm-hmm. And, you know, which is not a scientific approach, but it's what happened. And one thing that stood out is, you know, people change, like Lily was saying, sort of in subtle internal ways that often have to do with self-knowledge. Mm-hmm. Often it's like, I came to know myself better over time. And maybe I made some small changes in who I am, but some of those changes might have to do with being comfortable with who you are rather than sort of big changes in the broad strokes of your personality. And I think everyone has different periods of life that looking back, they may feel are sort of more authentic or more true to who they were. That's you know, and other times where maybe they were trying on a version of themselves that didn't end up sticking, you know? You know, there can be this element of feeling that you've grown, you've learned and deepened. And in that sense, you've changed. But what's changed is your self-awareness rather than your, you know, the
fundamental
the way
of
someone who just meets you would
something.
Describe you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's so interesting. Let's go back to the funds. William in Oakland, welcome.
Owen, I just wanted to talk about... In 1994, I dropped out of college, four classes shy of a philosophy degree. And when the pandemic began, I went back to SF State and finished those four classes. And I'm now working on my final project, which is a 12-page reflective essay designed to talk about my philosophical journey from being a freshman to a senior. The interesting thing about it is that my journey hasn't been a 4 or 5, 6-year process. It's been a process.
Wow.
With 28 years of development in between. And it's been a really, really strange final project to try to sort of track this linear change. But it has, like, you know, a first marriage, a divorce, raising two kids, multiple jobs, all mixed in to finally going back and taking these four final philosophy classes on, you know, Descartes and things like that and consciousness now. And who I am at 52 is so different than who I was at 24. I just wanted to share that story.
Thanks. Wait, hold on. Stay on the line, William. Yeah. Sure. I'm so curious about this. So you've changed as a person, right? I mean, because of all those experiences you went to, you grow, you change, you get knocked down, you get back up.
Yeah.
But if you're tracking your philosophical journey, do you feel like your actual philosophies or the way that you kind of view the world has changed?
Oh, absolutely. When I was in my early 20s, I was definitely less sort of defined in who I was as a person. So, you know, I'd be reading Descartes, and in my early 20s, I was like, oh, yeah, sure, that makes sense. But at 52, I'm thinking, this guy's an idiot. And I totally don't agree with it. But it was also interesting being in these classes with 20-year-olds. And, you know, I've had multiple careers, and, you know, my fellow students are younger than my kids. But a lot of my philosophical beliefs have less to do with things that I've studied and more to do with just living a life.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man, William, that is so interesting. Joshua, do you want to respond to anything to that? I love the idea of having to write essay.
It's such a great story. Well, you know, one thing that it brings to mind is, you know, in talking to people for this article and just, you know, reading different accounts of this sort of question, you know, a question that you have to answer in order to sort of think through whether you've changed is, you know, what matters? What are the things that matter if they've stayed the same? And most people say, well, it's personality. That's like where our minds go. We say, well, our personality has stayed the same or our personality has changed. But your personality is only part of who you are. It also matters what you do and what you think and what you've experienced. You know, if you're the same basic personality, if you have the same basic personality age 50 as you had at age 20, but in between ages 20 and 50, you had all sorts of experiences. You lived here, you were married or divorced, or you had children, or you went to war, or you moved across the world, or you had intellectual changes. You discovered, you found faith, or you discovered philosophy, or you discovered you loved music or whatever. Maybe your personality is the same, but these other changes really matter. It's like if you imagine two identical twins and they're born, but they live totally different lives. They have the same kind of personality, but one is Breaking Bad. He becomes the leader of the drug cartel, and the other is the university president or whatever. They might have the same personality, but they're totally different people. So I think when you think about have you changed, it can be so easy to focus on your personality, but these types of things, like my views, my opinions, my ideas, my experiences, they're who you are as well. And yeah, it's possible to change on that level dramatically, to go through a hugely dramatic life. And then, yeah, there's other parts that are continuous. It doesn't mean you're the same person now as you were back then.
I mean, I think one reason why I find myself thinking of myself as an episodic person is that I'm like so relentlessly curious as a person. I mean, that's why I love this job a lot. That's why I loved, writing for magazines, because you can just go deep and deep and deep down all these different roads. And it can feel like those things, particularly if you're working on a book, like say I have been for 6 years, that can feel like a whole big chapter, or, previous work, you're working on something for years. And it's very hard to square that. Once you're out of that, it's very hard to square that with, just the smooth continuum of life. Even though maybe the same underlying personality characteristic of that kind of curiosity is animating all those different things. Mm. Let's go, James in San Francisco. Welcome.
Hey there. This conversation really resonates with me. I always think about, I love thinking about change and how if I'm whether the same person as I am, when I was little. What brought me to think about this a lot was I got burned out in tech, and I decided to totally change careers for a couple of years to just write fiction. And your whole thing about the anthology comment was very, 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 I love that, because short fiction is my jam. I always resonated with being a dabbler as well, being very loving to dive deep into various different things that I think that I can do anything, right? And so what was interesting is I started writing fiction. It was really difficult, and I hadn't done that before, and I realized one day when I went back to my parents' house, I discovered that my dad's old 286 computer, my first computer.
Oh my God. That was my first computer too, the 286, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, 286, trusty 286. And I think I booted it up and went into, I think it was Lotus 1-2-3 or something. I don't remember exactly what it was. And I realized, wow, I had written some short stories when I was 7 or 8. And I totally forgot about it until that very moment. And when I read some of those stories, I was like,
these are my themes.
The prose was, obviously a 78-year-old prose, but sort of the character and the tone and the things that I was trying to do back then in my short stories was similar.
Oh my gosh.
So this kind of shattered my belief of like, maybe I am true the same person. And there's this theory that the memories that you think about the most are the ones that are least accurate, because your brain goes back and will edit that memory with the context of your current knowledge. And so I felt like seeing that short story on the old OCR
286,
it brought back those so fresh memories I hadn't thought about for 30 years. Yeah. And it made me realize like, wow, this sort of arc of a person, maybe I am truly the same person, and maybe I am still writing the same stories, except I had a gap of a few decades thinking about that part of myself. I just found that to be a profound experience.
Yeah, James, that is so interesting. And something that's coming up for us, Josh, which I think is just, it's fascinating, that people don't seem to remember their paths accurately, and then they go back and they find an artifact and they go, dang, that is me. It's like they go back and they see the baby photo of their mind as recorded in writing and realize maybe I'm more continuous than I thought.
The baby photo of their mind. That's a great phrase. Yeah, I mean, so one of the things that comes up in the sort of longitudinal social science attempt to figure out whether people change is that nobody remembers what they were like as kids. And, you know, like, you know, you just don't remember it. Parents don't remember what their kids were like. And a lot of kids struggle, a lot of grown adults struggle to remember what their parents were like when they were children. So that basically there's a fog and we sort of emerge or sort of thrown into the present out of this fog. And one thing that stands out, I think, like in your story and what you said, Alexis, about sort of being a changeable person who's super curious and a journalist and a writer. And then, you know, this story about, you know, feeling that you're changing and you're going to become a writer, you're going to change your life is, you know, we tell ourselves these stories in part because they motivate us to be a certain way. You know, if you want to embark on something new, and you want to be a person who's taking on new projects and who's dynamic and so on, you know, one thing you might say, feel about yourself is, I guess I'm just a person who's always changing. Is that actually true? Maybe not, you know, but maybe that's what you need. That's the kind of story you need. And conversely, like, if you're a person who's like, wants to be a certain way, you have certain ideals, you have a certain personality that you want to stay true to, you might say to yourself, you know, I've always been this way and I'm going to be true to myself. I'm going to continue to be the person I've always been. I'm not going to get distracted. And you know, like if you imagine, we all have that experience maybe of like you make the new friend who's cooler than you. And it's like, am I going to get pulled into that world or am I going to stay true to who I am? these are stories sometimes. So the point is, often, yeah, you do have experiences of feeling one way about your path and then discovering, oh, I guess I've always kind of been the same way. And then maybe I was telling myself this story in order to you know, motivate myself or embark on something new.
You know what I really can't wait for? My mom's going to listen to the show and she's going to text me after the show and she's going to be like, you've always been just like this. I'm sure, I'm 100% sure of it. We are talking about Joshua Rothman's story in the New Yorker magazine, Are You the Same Person You Used to Be? And we are taking your calls on if you feel like you were the same person that you were 5, 10, or 20 years ago, or do you feel like your past self is a stranger? The number is 866-733-6786, or you can leave a comment. The email is forum@kqed.org. I'm Alexis Madrigal. Stay tuned for more right after the break.
Star One Credit Union provides you with the tech, tools, and terms to control your money and your lifestyle. Simple, seamless, everyday financial services and solutions. Online and mobile banking backed by the latest technology. Great rates on home, auto, and solar loans. And real people providing real assistance when you need it. At Star One, they always put you first. Become a member at staronecredit.org or visit any of their Bay Area locations. Star One Credit Union. In your best interest.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. We are talking with New Yorker Magazine's ideas editor, Joshua Rothman, also a writer for the magazine, with a piece called Are You the Same Person You Used to Be? We have some really interesting comments. I'm just going to do a little block of them here. Rachel writes, my experience, having traversed many chapters, is that the outer has changed enormously, and in the inner, I become more of who I always was. All religions say we have an essential self or soul. That feels deeply true to my experience. Noelle tweets, I have more wisdom now. It's getting harder to be that person who is open, trying new things, and looking at myself in the mirror does not reflect how I see myself. Wendy writes in to say, when I was younger, I prided myself on what made me different. As I get older, I look for commonalities. This at a time when our society is finding all kinds of ways to differentiate. And here's one I want to ask you about, Joshua. Anne writes in to say, I'm 56 years old. I believe going through a nasty divorce for the past 5 years has changed me. I'm not the same trusting person I was, and I think this is a good thing. I won't be taken advantage of in the same way. I'll probably make new mistakes. I went through the Hoffman process, which has as its tagline, if you're serious about change. And as an experiential total immersion therapy, I understand where I came from and I'm appreciative of all who I am, even that trusting person who was taken advantage of. A couple interesting things about that comment. I do want to ask about sort of like big life events and, you know, or traumas that people go through of various kinds, and whether telling these stories to ourselves can do something for us. And I also wonder if there's a bonus to trying out the other way of seeing a life. Like, if you're a divider, trying out being a continuer. And if you're a continuer, is it worth trying out being a divider?
Great questions and great comments and stories. You know, so in thinking through, you know, trying to think through in a kind of serious way, this question, like, do you change, or, you know, are you the same person your whole life? Well, one of the things you got to confront is we all change. You know, there's no question about it. Like, we're all getting older every day, for example. And the things we did on a typical day when we were 17 and the things we do on a typical day now, if we're not 17, are totally different, in good ways and bad ways. And the reality of changing through life, well, we're all changing through life. And that doesn't mean that, you know, we've changed, quote unquote. It just means change is part of life. That's obvious. And big events that happen in your life, of course, they create change in your life. And then there's layers to this. There's, you know, at the same time, we all feel that there are things that are the same. And we may seek at different times to hold on to those things, to highlight those things, to focus on those things, to put those things at the center of the story that we're telling. You know, part of the way that life unfolds is, it seems to me, is, you know, you're always changing and you're always thinking about that fact. And I think, you know, when we started talking at the beginning of this conversation, you know, we mentioned our kids. And I think it's one of the most interesting things about having a little kid is seeing when they become conscious of the fact that they're changing. You know, like, my son has just started to realize, he's just starting to get nostalgic. He's four, just started to get nostalgic about the stuff we used to do when he was 3.5. Wow. And, you know, knowing that you're changing is part of what it is to be a person, and having a view on that. And also, you know, knowing that there's things that are the same amidst all that continuity. So I think when you're asking, you know, when you're thinking about something, like, you've gone through a really tough time, you know, I think we've all gone through really tough times in life that are really hard, and you emerge changed from that, no question. And you may, though, have different ways of understanding that experience. Mm-hmm. You may say something really, really decisive, like, I guess I'm a totally different person now. Or you may say something like, I've had a totally surprising experience, but I'm still the same person underneath. And,
yeah,
you know, there's no right answer.
Yeah, that was definitely Anne's experience of it, right? Of, like, I love that person that I was, even if I've changed, and I recognize her as part of me too. So, God, so interesting. Let's go back to the phone lines real quick. Jill in San Mateo. Welcome, Jill.
Hi, Alexis. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for, you do such a wonderful job hosting forums, so I appreciate you. I just wanted to share my experience. I am a memoir nonfiction writer. I'm working on my second book, and so I'm constantly having to think about memory and self, and I've been working on my book for more than 10 years, and so I am constantly going back to pieces I wrote years ago and saying, am I still this self? Am I not? And do I keep it or do I change it? Or what parts do I keep? What parts do I change? And, you know, my book is about kind of the development of anxiety over the course of my life and culminating in, you know, postpartum anxiety, you know, having an infant in the pandemic and kind of reconstructing it. But I'm having to search for threads and say, how did this manifest as a child? How does it manifest now? And so it's fascinating the ways in which I see myself on the page and say, I'm a different person than the person who wrote this, and deciding, you know, having to decide what to keep in terms of the story that I want to tell, as well as being honest about that. And I'll often have the experience where I'll even find a sentence, or I'll write a sentence. I'll be like, oh, that was really good. And then I'm looking through the book and I'm like, oh, I already wrote a sentence like that in a totally different chapter. So I'm thinking a lot about self and memory and how it changes. And so I really appreciate this conversation.
You know, I think this is why I've never written memoir like that. It just seems so hard to have, like, the wavefront of your consciousness continuing to move along. And yet you've got to look back and capture mm-hmm. these moments. It just seems like as a creative challenge, so difficult. So a salute to you for taking that on. A couple of other interesting ones that are also, you know, kind of around language as well. Not writers, but around immigration and language change. Ching writes, fascinating conversation. I have changed a lot, if not into a completely different person through immigration from China to the U.S. through language. Used to be in Chinese until 32 years old, now exclusively in English, and I'm 50. Among many other aspects, like other people, marriage, etc. But when I'm around my family, I see they are pulling me back to the old self. Part of it is they keep reminding me who I should be, however I've changed. And part of it is they haven't changed as much as I have, possibly. And Rook tweets, language, which is also part of the immigration experience, but speaking writing in a different language changed the way I think and see myself. This really strikes me because sometimes I imagine to myself that there's a part of my father that is just not accessible to me because it is like a... The Spanish of his childhood does particular things, I think. And because I don't have full access to that, I feel like there's a part of his self that is kind of there and not here with us, you know?
Yeah, I mean, one thing I came to feel when writing about this material was that, you know, I think a lot of us have the sense like, we've changed a lot, but those other people in our family haven't changed that much. That's a really common thing you hear. And I certainly feel that way. But, you know, part of that is because you don't know all of a person. You know, you just know a part of a person's experience. There may be the life they had. You know, if they're your sibling who you see a couple times a year, you don't see them in their job. Maybe their job is... they're a different person in that job, you know. If they're your grandparent, maybe you didn't see them when they were young and had a different life. And so there's a kind of thing where we all feel like we're changing a lot. Maybe some of us do. And we feel other people are kind of, old, reliable, so and so. But we all just have, a window onto life. And that's even, that's true of our own lives because we don't remember necessarily. We don't think too hard until we find that diary from the past that shows us what we were like back then. We don't necessarily know. So there's such a funny dynamic of sort of we're all in a little bit of a fog. And then you sort of discover things about yourself or about other people. And they could be surprising.
Let's go to Joan in San Rafael. Welcome, Joan.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on. This topic is so timely for me. I'm turning 60 in January, and I'm actively in the process of, thank you, and I'm developing what my next chapter is going to be. And through lots of thinking and lots of experience, I've come to embrace the fact that I am a salesperson through and through, and all that that implies. And to me, it's been a very positive experience, starting from when I was 16 and decided I needed my first job and borrowed my dad's car and went to the shopping center and determined to walk into every store that was interesting to me and ask for an application and see if I could get an interview. And I wasn't going to leave until I had a job. And I did. And I've applied those skills now in a broad variety of fields, everything from high-end commercial banking to the world of custom furniture. And through that, I've distilled my own personal definition of what a salesperson is and why it's a noble and good and required valuable profession if it's done with integrity and honesty. And through that process, I've come to embrace the fact that, yes, I am a salesperson. And I love it, and I do it well, and it can be of value to the people I'm going to be working with in my next chapter.
That is so interesting. We have, Joan, we have another question on this kind of career. So I'm going to go straight back to back, Carol in Petaluma, and then we can take these two together. Welcome, Carol.
Hi, thank you. I was wondering if the article had anything to say about career and personality. And because I've always wondered that. I am a family physician, and I actually was a nurse before I went to medical school, so I thought I knew what I was getting into. But I went to med school in San Diego. Downtown hospital was pretty rough. And then I did my residency in Modesto in the early 1990s, which was really rough. A lot of heroin, a lot of really hard things. And if you asked me what I thought of my training, I would say I was surprised by how much death I saw. I went into private practice and I only stayed there 5 years because it just seemed like I saw a lot of worried well people and I really wanted to tackle real problems. And I ended up working with the severely developmentally disabled for the rest of my career. And I often wonder, and my daughter says, you are so no nonsense. But when I look at the things I've seen, which, you know, I won't elaborate on, I don't have a lot of tolerance for whining or anything like that. And so I wonder if he's explored that, how your career can then shape you subsequently.
I'm so curious about this, Joshua. I mean, there is social science, but I'm not sure it's like tackled precisely this.
Well, this is such a good question. Is, you know, how does what we do define who we are? And, you know, one way of asking that question is like, how did it change my personality? How did my job shape my personality? And that's totally fascinating. You know, another way of just noting, of thinking about this is just by focusing on what you did, just actually thinking about how you spent your time and whether when you were young, you could have predicted that. And whether that's now what you do today, you know, that would be another way of dividing up your life is really thinking about the substance of how you spend your time, which is what a lot of us do at work. You know, we give our time to something that's very specific and maybe, you know, something that if you were to go back and think about when you were a kid, is this what you pictured? You know, some of these things, no, they're just not what you pictured, but it's what you did. You know, what I'd say is there's a, you know, I guess two things. You know, first, like I left the work on this subject feeling sort of very drawn to the idea that you should think about not just your personality, but the totality of what your life is made of when you're trying to decide how you feel about whether you changed. That, you know, it's so easy to focus on the stuff about, you know, like just what type of person am I? But that's sort of things that are, you know, they're visible from the outside. But if you were to write your biography, you know, write your memoir, right? You know, if someone were to give your eulogy or whatever, they would focus a lot also on what you did, you know, the people you affected, the work you accomplished, the hobbies details, you had, you know, the details of your life. And they matter a lot too. And you can change a lot through those details, which are very important, you know. So you know, I think about that a lot when I think about work and how it affects us. You know, it can shape our personalities, but it's also just a part of who we are. And it's not like it doesn't matter if it didn't change who we are. It matters a lot.
Carolyn, Joan, thank you so much for both those questions. Yeah. I'm fascinated by the incorporation of salesperson as a key sort of like identity story. It's like really interesting. A couple things on parenting going in two different directions. Caroline writes in to say, I just wanted to highlight how crazy the changes have been for me personally and probably for others as they become parents. Not only is there the incredibly fast transition between phases, from changes in my body and experiences as my baby grew inside me, to the quick developmental changes in 3 months, 6 months, year one, year five, year eight, exclamation point, got an eight-year-old perhaps, and dealing with the public school system, but also the change that came about with the opportunity to finally experience unconditional love. Although in some ways the trauma of life has stripped the more innocent and carefree aspects of myself away, experiencing the true love for my kids and their innocence has given it back to me. And in some ways, I am more me than I was previously, a little bit more confident in knowing that I can try and fail, and I will still be loved and appreciated. On the other side of things, Grace writes in to say, so many people say that becoming a parent completely changed them. I did not have that experience. When I became a parent, I still felt like the same person, but with a huge new priority and with the structure of my life reorganized around me. I'm curious, how much does parenthood typically change a person on the inside?
Great questions and experiences that a lot of people have in common, you know. Well, you know, I guess, and this is kind of a good way maybe of summing up some of this some of the ways of thinking about this question of continuity in your life is one of the things that struck me when I started to talk to lots of people about this question was how strongly we hold the views we happen to have. So I think a lot of people just, you have a gut feeling, you know, about whether you've changed or whether you've stayed the same. But if you step back, you just have to admit that, yeah, if pushed, you could tell an alternative story. You know, like if you were just in a different frame of mind or around your old friends or at your workplace or whatever, you know, depending where you focus your attention, yeah, you could tell a story that things have changed. You could tell a story that you're still the same. And what I found most interesting for me personally, after having kind of dwelt on this for a while, is just it's interesting to try to tell yourself a story that you don't usually tell yourself, to try to see it from the other point of view. I think of myself as a person who's changed a lot. And I'm in the group that says, that feels that parenthood has changed me a great deal. Mm-hmm. But it can be useful, like actually useful in a self-help kind of way, in a kind of understanding yourself way, for me to ask myself, well, but have I changed? How much of the way I am now is actually the same way that I was before? What do I know now? What could be revealed to me if I focused for a change on the ways I've been always the same? And conversely, if you're someone who feels you've always been the same your whole life, well, that's a story that is totally reasonable to tell yourself, but probably you're also skipping over some interesting chapters there that get kind of hidden under the broader arc of continuity. And it can be really useful to say to yourself, let me try flip to see this around from another perspective. Yeah.
That's what I'm going to take away from this. I really appreciated that thought. I also, last comment, Eileen writes, I turned 70 this month. I couldn't resist inhaling the helium from a birthday balloon and singing a silly song to text to my siblings. My 76-year-old brother sent me a picture of myself at 2 years old, giggling and waving wildly. His caption, some things don't change. We have been talking with Joshua Rothman, ideas editor and a writer at The New Yorker, about his piece. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me. This was great fun.
I'm Alexis Madrigal. Stay tuned for another hour of Forum Ahead with guest host Leslie McClurg.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, the Generosity Foundation, and the Heising-Simons Foundation.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.